Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Net neutrality. Think about that. What does that mean? It's another stupid word that nobody, we don't even know what it is. Like all these words, hegemony and net neutrality and up is down and down is up and yes is no and no is yes and black is white, white is black. It's like everything. This is calling evil good and good evil. We are in those days.
Yeah, no doubt.
And this is something when you think about what Paul told Timothy. Paul told Timothy about that. And he said, these days are coming. And this is what we got to learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Timothy, have nothing to do with them. Now, you can still have a life and you still can, but we're trying to integrate people who hate God, who have called good evil, evil good, up, down, down, up, right, left, right, all that kind of stuff. We're trying to figure out how to juggle all those relationships. And the reality is they don't know God. We need to evangelize. We need to tell them. I hate that word. We need to love on them. We need to demonstrate to them the love of God. We need to do the things Jesus did. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go evangelize everybody. He just went and said, what do you need? That's what we got to start doing. What do you need? And the thing is we don't leave. That's an open-ended question. They might ask us to have to give of ourselves.
Imagine that.
And so, and they may, you know, whatever they need, if God's with you and you really mean that, guess what? God, you're partnering with God. And he says, I will work with you to the end. I will work with you confirming my word. And so that's called the presence of the kingdom and the power of God. That's just what we need. We don't need somebody saying, you know, here's five key letters. If you memorize these, you can lead people down the Romans road of whatever. And it's like, Jiminy, they don't even know where Rome is at. So here we are with this word. This word is so huge. I mean, who ever thought that the mark of the beast was going to be called net neutrality?
Right.
You know, how many people, you know, they say, I would never take the mark. And that was 70 marks ago, right?
Right.
We just convince ourselves every time that's not the mark. It's obviously something coming. Somebody says, well, it's not in my hand. It's like, it's in your pocket. Anyway, so, but you think about this, that, you know, when you download a program or you get something on your computer or something like this, it has all this, you know, read this. If you accept these policies, you can use our program or you can use our online type thing. I mean, and I watched the long 2 or 3 hour conference of the people who write that stuff.
It's so on stimulating. Your apps, on the iPhone,
yeah, it's like 70,000 pages, you know, and you know, you can read it, you know, and they say, have you read this thing? And people lie and they go, yes. And they click it. Do you agree with this? Without even knowing it. And they say, yes. And then they go on through and they just start using the program. It's sort of like healthcare. You know, we didn't read it. Nobody read it. And they said, just click on through. And so our leaders said, click, 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 boom, we have healthcare. What is it? We don't know. We had to click yes before we read it. And now, right now, in net neutrality, there is the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission, who determines, who presently is determining what you're going to see on TV, what you're going to hear on radio. And now they're wanting to control the internet. Presently, the internet's owned by the guy in the lemonade stand up the street. It's a private industry. Look what's happened to it. Be in a private industry. And they don't like that. It's totally outside their control. They could have had a better narrative in all this darkness that they're doing right now in the world if, in fact, they had control over the internet. Our president, and I even believe Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was talking about turning it over to the United Nations. Like, what? What? Turn it over to the United Nations? What are you talking about? Turn over private industry to the United Nations? So understand that's you're looking at one world government. You're looking at just, you know, it's all working towards that way. Like I said, we know the news. We're just trying to change it. Josiah knew the news. God told him what was going on, King Josiah. But then he cried out to God and he changed the news. God said, I'm going to postpone this destruction, this time of trouble coming on Israel because you repented. That's what we mean about changing the news. Well, this is the news. On the 27th, which is, or 26th, is tomorrow. 26th. Tomorrow. We're going to give you a phone number to be able to call the White House. You need to call the White House, your Congress people. Don't assume you know what they're going to do, but the number is 202-456-1111. 202-456-1111. You want to tell them, do not vote positive or yes on net neutrality. In other words, say, but tell them, ever how you're wording, that could change the wording before you know it. Just say this: get away from the internet. Step back.
Leave it alone.
Realize it's, leave the lemonade dude alone on the stand. Just, it's happening. You know, just let it alone. They're using words like, hey, we want the internet to be able to bring you love and bring you a financial future. We want to be able to give you things that you'll never have to work again the rest of your life. That's all we want to do. Is like, what are you even talking about? They just give you all these words.
Like the great job they're doing with the post office right now. I mean, that's not, I mean,
yeah.
They're not, it's working fine right now without any government regulation. And it's freedom where you can exercise your rights at saying whatever you want.
Yes. So let's quickly go through. I want you to see this because they're in the Holocaust. They're in the days they wanted hegemony. That Hitler wanted hegemony. He wanted to be able to eventually work his way to gathering up all the Jews and the unwanted and the Christians who didn't buy into his Bible, because he rewrote the whole Bible.
Yes.
And Putin is following that verbatim nationalism today. And so he eventually put a tracking number on every Jew, a star, and he began to tattoo the number. You got to see, I want you to see this, because this is a reunion of, these guys were teenagers when they were under people who wanted hegemony. And they put a tracking number on them. And I'm going to connect these things with net neutrality and what's taking place. Watch this.
65 years ago, Menachem Sholowich and Ansel Sheratzky were terrified teenagers, standing one ahead of the other in Auschwitz, having serial numbers tattooed on their arms. Sholowich was B14594. Sheratzky was B14595. The two Polish Jews had never met. They had never spoke. And they were quickly separated. Yet each survived the Nazi death camp, moved to Israel, married, and became fathers and grandfathers. Today, they have been reunited after stumbling upon each other through the internet.
It's something unbelievable that all the three of us, we stand in Auschwitz together and we are here together.
The twist of fate doesn't end there. Two brothers who were with them in the tattooist line have made contact since hearing of the story. One of the brothers joined them for an emotional reunion Sunday at Israel's Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem. When Sholowich saw the number on Sheratzky's arm, he rolled up his sleeve and discovered their connection.
It's a unique story, and it's rare. And even for me, who works here for years, it's something that you can't remain with your eyes dry when you see it, because it's fascinating.
The meeting comes a day before Israel marks its annual Holocaust Remembrance Day, commemorating the 6 million Jews murdered in World War II.
Here at Israel's Holocaust Memorial, the men who have not seen each other for decades embrace and catch up on old memories, such as traveling on trains such as these during the Holocaust. Each man's life story now includes a chapter he shares with the others, bound together forever by the numbers inked deep into their skin. Aaron Heller, The Associated Press, Jerusalem.
You're looking at the numbering system. These guys are alive today. This is not like 70 million years ago. They were teenagers. So hello, teenagers, if you don't think that you could be tracked and that would
hello.
People that would want to do these things. And I want you to see this too, because I want to show how this thing connects. So realize the reason why they put numbers on them, other than the humiliation to be known for a number other than a name, was to be able to track them. This is number whatever. As a matter of fact, take a look at this movie called Trailer Ball called Number, just a clip of it, so you can see what I'm talking about. It was many, many, many.
And the number is B11647.
A11998. Ze ani lo yechola lagid beivrit.
אני לא אומר שזה צלקת, בשבילי זה מדליה.
So you're looking at, this is a reality. These folks are alive today. So what I'm telling you about hegemony and that men, to be able, for men to be able to control things, they're not God. So they have to have some sort of tracking system. Guess what net neutrality is? You got to hear this. I want you to hear Mark Cuban,
owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes, and what he said on an interview yesterday with Glenn Beck. So how does the Holocaust, how does a tracking system, how does all this connect? It connects. You know, the Lord spoke to me in a vision, a dream, And he showed me in this dream, it was a whole bunch of sitting in, what do you call those things?
Pods, cubicles.
It was pods. If you work in a city or you work in, where there's a lot of people that work there.
Big company.
Yeah, big companies that, let me find the specific dream. And he spoke to me about it and showed me that we were all kind of gathering data. Every one of us was just entering data. And remind them not to staple my notes. And so you're just entering everybody's stuff, social security numbers and date of births and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden it came. And this is a dream. This is a dream. It's like a vision, night vision. So I'm realizing they are gathering all this information on us.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 50 years ago. This is just recently God's showing me this. But we weren't at liberty to, for some reason, you just couldn't openly say in this huge office, hey, they're tracking us. You know, there's some reason you couldn't do that. But every one of us had a bulletin board right by our desk, you know, our little cubicle thing or whatever. And so I tried to communicate with everybody there what was going on covertly off of my bulletin board. And so I wrote on the bulletin board from all this data gathering that God is showing us. I wrote on the bulletin board, and the number of his name is 666. Talking about the beast economy, and the dream ended. Of course it's going to be convenient. Of course it's going to be. I mean, comfort and convenience right now is the biggest adversary of Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about to change. And so we have, okay, you just saw what happened at the Holocaust with people who wanted hegemony, wanted to rule the world. They began to put tracking numbers. And that day they had to write down the numbers on a ledger sheet. It was that difficult to be able to track folks. But now it's a little bit easier to track people. And now you have the net neutrality. Net neutrality is they're wanting everybody to be able to have access to the internet. Everybody to be able to have access to it. And they want everything to have its own identifier, like this bottle of water to have an identifier, this mouse to have an identifier, me to have an identifier. And probably your heart will have one, and then your lung will have one. Tunnel. Everything has a URL identifier thing. They want to, because they can track it. So you'll walk into your home. This is what the CEO of Google says. We're talking about the chip in your head. He said, you'll be able to walk into your home and your home will just be alive around you, basically, and knowing where everything's going. That means somebody else could know that too. So when you hear Cuban talking to Grillin Beck, he's asking him questions about what does all of this mean? Watch this.
It's not inconceivable, and I would tell you that someone will sue and it'll become likely that they'll say you have to combine all that bandwidth together. So if you're getting 100 to make it easy, 6 megabit channels of HD, that's 6 gigabytes. That's 6 gigabytes if you say, you know what, you can't just deliver all that for television. We want to open that up to the internet so all the Glenn Becks and Blazes can deliver their over-the-top video in an equal manner. Now all of a sudden you have 6.1 gigabits available in this example.
You have to fracture it to everything.
Yeah, and it's just open internet. Now all of a sudden your traditional television, so if I'm getting Blaze on my big bad cable, you know, provider, might start buffering. And I probably need new equipment in my home that maybe government is going to force you to buy, but it gets worse, right? So now if all video delivered could be perceived as television, right, because it's all in the same pipe. Bits are bits. No matter what anybody says in government, no matter what any technologically savvy person says, bits are bits. They don't care if it's text, data, or video, whatever it is, it's just a bit. And you have your pipe that's allocated in different ways, you know, through a lot of different mechanisms. But net neutrality at its base says all that data should be delivered together and no one should have priority. So if there's no priority for television and it's just part of the open internet and delivery, your traditional television watching the evening news,
it's over.
It's over, right? Either A, you're going to have to get new equipment in order to make it all be part of
one. I'm actually for this in concept. I hate the way it's being done, but it would force the cable companies to allow me to do everything a la carte. There's no reason I have 500 channels. I don't want to pay
for
500 channels.
Yes, you do. Yes, you may not want 500, but you want it in bundles. Otherwise, it gets very expensive. And look at the music industry, right? So when everything is a la carte, the expense doesn't come in creating the content, right? The expense comes in marketing the content. So we could take a phone, and you and I can sing Sinatra, and maybe it's just the best song ever, but in order for it to get heard, we have to compete with everybody. And when you're in an open market like that, and it's a la carte, sure, a couple songs sneak through and becomes hits, but the big four music labels still control 70%. I saw something on Billboard that it was a higher percentage of record sales or music sales today than it was in 1998, because the cost to stand out is so much more expensive.
Right, but doesn't Comcast, Universal, NBC already control, the big four already control most of the content?
Well, yes and no, right? Because I would tell you that Netflix subsidizes all that content now. And without Netflix, that same content isn't being created. And there's a unique dependency on Netflix. And that you look at the turnover, you know, I'm on a show that keeps on growing, Shark Tank, right? Because it's a great show, but they put us on
NBC.
On ABC, yeah. And they put us on Friday nights because they thought we were going to die, because it used to be Friday nights was a day to go. It's point being that it's hard to know which content's going to stand out and rise to the top. But let's keep on going on the conclusion. So if everything is funneled through the open internet, and let's just say it's a la carte, right? Now all of a sudden, you see a different set of rules potentially being applied. I guarantee you that the FCC met the same organization that fought for 8 years over Janet Jackson and their wardrobe malfunction. Mm-hmm. 8 years to enforce that. There's going to be somebody that comes along and says, you know what, we need decency standards applied to all the content on the internet, because now that is coming through the same pipe and it's open to everybody. We need education requirements. Remember, Bill Clinton said you had to have a certain amount of educational content.
You have the fairness doctrine again.
In a lot of respects, yes, applied to the internet. So this goes into the law of unexpected consequences or unintended consequences, that you don't know what's going to happen when all these things change. And, you know, you talk about Twitter. You would think companies like Twitter and Facebook have thought through the technological aspects of it. I don't think they have. And so all of a sudden, if there is no such thing as a prioritized bit, then all that digital television going through the same pipe, all those voters who like to get Fox News or MSNBC, they're going to freak out, you know, because you're going to have to go to their website to get it, or you're going to have a special box that identifies the channels.
So you're that's a business viewpoint. But this is the shocker in that interview. You could see the whole interview. We'll make it available to you, or at least access to it on the VFN Torch. So all these things that Cuban's talking about, so Glenn asks them the question.
Mm-hmm.
So will it pass? Will they vote for it? He goes, oh, yes. I mean, it wasn't like, well, I think so. It was like, oh, yes,
it's going to happen.
And you have to understand that that's a business viewpoint. But what they're wanting is they want every single, there's a reason why everybody was given a phone through the food stamps program. It wasn't for whatever people said it was. You can be tracked with a phone. You can be communicated directly with a phone. You can actually do business now with a phone. You can bank with your phone. You can actually do everything with your phone. I mean, in law enforcement, there was a day that you had to, you know, I was coming from a law enforcement experience. They put you on house arrest, and they would strap something like your phone to your leg, and they called it house arrest, and they would follow your dot. And if your dot moved outside of your house, they would know it, and they would send the police. But now people pay money for their dot to track them. But you think about this, Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 18. This is what he says about this mark of the beast, because you can track everything now. And people like George Soros and these people that want a world economy and trying to find jobs for the radical jihadists in the Middle East, it's like, what are you doing?
Really?
Workers of the world, unite. Business is the key. Watch this. It's an economy thing. Revelation 13, 15 says, the second beast was given the power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refuse to worship, in other words, put it first, the image to be killed. That's happening in all things. It also will force all people, great, small, rich, poor, free, or slave, to receive a mark on his right hand and his forehead, so that they could not buy or sell, its economy, unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast. The mark is the name of the beast and the number of its name. He says in 18, he says, this calls for wisdom. We've got to really get wise. We can't walk ignorantly through these days. He said, let the person who has insight calculate the number of his name, the number of the beast, which is the number of man, which is 666. And we're going to put a related link on there about something the Lord showed John sometime back about the economy falling, and the six was the specific thing of it. That of all the things that Islam demanded in booty from America when Thomas Jefferson was president was $666,000 to release American slaves in our third presidency. We have to awaken this whole thing about net neutrality. You need to call the White House. You need to tell them to vote. Tell them we don't want this net neutrality. Keep your hands, the government, hands off this. We don't need government being tyrannical and controlling folks. You don't need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be there to be for the people, a government by the people and for the people. I want to pray for you. We have more information about this on The Torch, but we need to pray about this, that God would just give you wisdom and help us through these days. And just Father God, we just come to you right now. And we just see all this, but we're dependent upon your leadership in our life. You said, Lord, those that are led by your spirit are sons of God. Lord, and I pray for your people, God, to be touched in a special way, that you would begin to abide with God and follow the leading of the spirit, that no matter what happens, the Lord will lead you in the paths of rightness, righteousness for his name's sake. I pray protection, Father God. Give us wisdom, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.